Three scenes summarize my life. Picture those the public knows. First, a triumphant young woman, 5 years out of law school, celebrating the victory of a Supreme Court case she has won, Roe v. Wade, which overturns Texas statutes and makes abortion legal throughout the United States. Second, a worried, mature woman, 2 decades later, writing and speaking with every ounce of energy to prevent what she hoped and believed American women would never again know, the horrors of a time when abortion was illegal. This tape tells the story of those scenes and of the years that surround them. It is the story of Roe v. Wade, a case that has been called one of the most significant Supreme Court cases of this century. It was won by the cumulative efforts of many, but the spearhead of the final assault that legalized abortion in the nation began in Austin, Texas. The ending of the story of legal abortion in America will be written in the future, perhaps, I hope, by those who listen to these words. But there is also a third scene for me, one I share with millions of women. A scared graduate student in 1967 in a dirty, dusty Mexican border town to have an abortion, fleeing the law that made abortion against the law in Texas. I was seriously dating Ron Weddington, who was finishing his undergraduate degree after returning from the Army. He was planning to start law school in another 7 months. I had been celibate until our relationship progressed to the point that we were talking about getting married. I'd never used birth control. Fortunately, someone told Ron about a doctor in Piedras Negras, across from Eagle Pass, Texas, who had some U.S. medical experience and who did abortions. I was one of the lucky ones. The doctor was pleasant and seemed competent. When I felt the anesthesia taking effect, my last thoughts were, I hope I don't die, and I pray that no one ever finds out about this. For me and the countless women who put their lives at risk to keep control over their bodies, the world did change in 1973 when Roe v. Wade became the law of the land. I hear it every day as I travel and speak. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's return to the beginning of the story, to where and when Roe v. Wade began. Austin, Texas, in the 1960s. Texans have always been an independent breed, and in the 60s and 70s, many women in Texas began to reveal their own streak of independence. Ours is a state now known as one where men are men and women are elected officials. But Texas did not become known for its women with can-do attitudes overnight. It took years of struggle and effort. When I began UT School of Law as a member of the June 1965 entering class and became one of 5 women students among 120 men, I felt I was breaking new ground as a woman. I did not know what law school would be like or whether I was smart enough to survive. I was terrified. The few women in law school tended to bond together to study and share information about classes, professors, and other students. Linda Coffey, a Dallas resident who had graduated from Rice University in Houston and who was smart enough to be invited to join the Law Review, was one of the women I often studied with. When the round of job interviews for the graduating class began, I interviewed for months but received no job offer of any kind. Since I was graduating in August 1967 in the top quarter of my class and was a hard worker, I believed the reason I could not get a job with a law firm was that I was a woman. Law firms, by and large, were not yet prepared to hire female lawyers. One of my professors saved me. John Sutton, a former FBI agent and attorney in San Angelo, offered me a job assisting his work with the American Bar Association's Special Committee on the Reevaluation of Ethical Standards. I jumped at the opportunity. Ron had finished his political science degree and started law school in June 1968. We married on August 25th. It was during those years, when Ron was in law school and I was working for Sutton, that I became involved in the Austin women's movement and in the effort to overturn the Texas anti-abortion statutes. Judy Smith, whom I'd met through Ron's classmate, Jim Wheelis, invited me along to a women's consciousness-raising group meeting. I'd always struggled against conventional wisdom, but my energy really began to flow when I saw that many other women were experiencing similar injustices. Many of the consciousness-raising meetings focused on contraception and abortion. Women talked about how they could not truly determine their own destinies in terms of education, employment, and physical and psychological health until they could control the number and spacing of their children. When contraceptives failed, one way of avoiding birth was abortion. Yet Texas law said that abortion was illegal except to save the life of the woman. Others talked about the fact that women with money could go to states such as California and New York for abortions, but women who were poorer, younger, or less sophisticated often did not make it to those places and instead ended up in Mexico or in back alleys. Stories of abortion mills and self-induced coat hanger abortions were uncomfortably common. Members of the consciousness-raising group wanted to find a way to keep women from the awful illegal places in Texas, Mexico, or wherever they were. The first move for The Rag, Austin's underground countercultural newspaper, was to print public service articles about safe and unsafe abortion methods. Then the women in the group organized a referral project to give other women information about their bodies, about their rights, about available birth control, and about safe abortion. They wanted to find names of clinics where women could be referred, places with safe, responsible doctors. As their efforts expanded, more women were calling, and the loosely formed volunteers gradually had more information to share. What began as individual efforts evolved to be an organized abortion referral project. The volunteers at the project considered access to birth control and preventive measures just as important as information on obtaining a safe abortion. They also taught about sexually transmitted diseases and how to avoid them. But among their principles was the belief that every woman who wanted to terminate a pregnancy, whatever her income level, color, or background, should have access to the safest services possible. Word of the referral project quickly spread throughout the Austin area. After great debate over the pros and cons of doing so, the group placed its first ad for the Women's Liberation Birth Control Information Center in The Rag in October 1969. The ads advertised a hotline, but did not mention abortion referral because of the possibility of legal entanglements.